Let us turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We're going to look at the first five verses of this chapter. As we prepare to worship the Lord in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we're going to see in this passage who Jesus Christ is. And because of our faith in Him, who we are in Christ. We're talking about following Christ as we go through the Sermon on the Mount. And we need to keep focused on Christ and see who He is in a deeper way. So let's bow for a word of silent prayer before we study. Father in heaven, we continue to worship you with humble hearts and grateful hearts for your love and grace and mercy for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you'll continue to keep the evil one from us as we worship, that we'll focus on you and your word as you would instruct us by your Holy Spirit. May your children be spiritually refreshed and renewed. Father, how we pray that anyone here today who does not know Jesus as their Savior, oh, that you would open their hearts by the power of the gospel, applying it by your Holy Spirit, that they would be freed from the bondage of sin and death by believing in Jesus, confessing and repenting of sin and asking for forgiveness. For this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen. You may be seated. In the first three verses of John 1, we see that a testimony that Jesus was with God from the very beginning, even from before the beginning. Jesus always was, always is, and always will be. So we see the deity of Christ, we see the eternality of Christ as being the Son of God. In John chapter 8, verses 56 through 59, Jesus is debating with the Pharisees concerning who they are and their lack of faith in Him. And in verse 56, we read these words, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Boy, that is a powerful testimony. Because Jesus took the most sacred name of God, Yahweh, and applied it to Himself, making Himself equal with God. Boy, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, they didn't like that at all. But the God that you and I love and loves us, the same God that became incarnate in a fleshly body and died for your sin and mine, He was truly God. And this is a testimony we have here. Now, let's go in to verses 4 and 5 of John 1. In Him was life, and the light was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Notice the prepositional phrase, in Him. Only in Him is what we could translate Him. Only in Him, in Christ. He is the origin of life. We've seen that in Genesis chapter 1 and in John 1. Life comes from Him. And then it talks about light and the light that lights every man's heart. This light is spiritual light. Coming to understand our spiritual deadness and the wrath of God on us. As non-believers, we didn't understand that. But as believers, we have a life that's spiritual as well as physical. And we understand life as God created it. And it's spiritual. And we're told in here that the light shines in darkness. That verb to shine there, look, it's in the present tense. It means that light continues to shine. It never stops. And to this very day, it continues to shine into the hearts that's dead and trespasses in sin. And will continue to shine until the second coming of Christ. So this is the eternal light, the spiritual light. Notice it says here in verse 5, the darkness has not overcome it. Some of you might have translations that read that the darkness did not understand it or apprehend it. And that's the better translation. That the light comes in and the darkness just didn't understand it. In fact, if you look at John chapter 3 and verse 20, in John chapter 3 verse 20, we see the attitude of those that are lost in sin toward light. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. You see, the attitude of those lost in sin is more than just not understanding. They hate the light. They don't want to be exposed to the light because it shows their sin. It reveals who they really are. And they have a hatred to that. All of mankind was that way when Adam and the woman disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. And all who are in sin continue in that state until such time they come to know Christ as Savior. So we have the light, we have this spiritual life, and it's all originates in God, and it comes into the heart of men and women. And that's what's taken place in those of us here today who have Christ as our Savior. That spiritual life and that spiritual light has entered your heart and mind and given us understanding of who Christ is. The Son of God who truly came, took our sin upon Himself and died for us, was raised from the dead, that all who trust in Him may have eternal life. And as you and I will be holding the bread and be holding the cup of juice, representing that body of Christ and that blood of Christ, who was truly God and truly man. This is what we need to remember. But what about us? Now go back to John chapter 1, and let's look at verses 12 and 13. Those who would not come to the light, they won't have anything to do with that. But look at verse 12. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Now let's stop there. But to all who did receive Him, this is something that we need to look at. The verb to receive means to take to oneself. And so when someone believes in Christ, that individual takes Christ into himself or herself and believes and trusts in Him. Believe there. To have faith means to accept the truth and to have absolute confidence in that truth. It's not trusting in Christ plus what I can do on behalf of myself. No, it's in Christ alone, as we've just sung. And we trust in Him and Him alone. We accept that by faith. Now, look at the next line. It says, He gave them the right to become children of God. First of all, He gave. He gave the right. We didn't earn it. We didn't buy it. God in His grace and mercy gave us. Now we need to look at the word right. Some translations have power. Others have authority. There's a difference in those two words. In the Greek, the dunamis means power. It means the ability to do something. And it's normally translated power. The word exousia is the word authority. It means you have the authority to do something. This is exousia. This means God has given to each of His children the authority to become His child. Let that sink in a little bit. The authority. You and I in Christ have God's authority to tell everybody in this world, I'm the child of the true and living God. Only those who are police officers can legally say, I'm a police officer. If you say you're a police officer and you're not, they'll get you for impersonating a police officer. You'll be in a heap of trouble. We can say we're anything, but we don't have the authority to say we're anything or anybody. But we have been given authority. We've been given the right by God Himself to not only say, but to know in the depths of our hearts, I am a child of God. And nobody else, unless they have Christ as their Savior, can say that. And your authority to claim that promise is from God Himself. We have that authority. What do we have the authority to do? To become children of God. The verb to become there, it refers to a process of becoming a child of God. Now, wait a minute. I thought once I became a child, I am a child. Well, you are. But let's turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 John 3, 2. Beloved, we are God's children now. There it is. Once you pray to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, you are God's child at that point. But then look what he goes on to say. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. You know, when we have our children and they're a little bitty and they're so much fun, a lot of work in those early months. Oh, it's great. And then they begin to grow and it's so exciting to see them crawl. And then it's a challenge when they start walking and running. And as they mature and develop, it's just a blessing. And then you begin to see yourself in your children. And what do you think? Oh, no. You know, you've seen that in your children? Oh, man. Wish I hadn't been talking like that when I was they were around. Because they take on our characteristics. But it's a process, is it not? And we've been born again by Christ. And we are His children. And in the process of spiritual growth, we want the Heavenly Father to see Him in us. We want the Heavenly Father to see us praying and to calling out to Him for help. And we want to please and honor the Heavenly Father. Where the Father will be just honored to say, that's my child. He sees enough. Really? I did that? I called that person? But that's what it means to become a child of God. It's a spiritual maturity. We call it sanctification. It's a process of being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And this is what you and I want to see in ourselves. And this is what we want to see in one another. A process of becoming more and more like Christ. So yes, but now, like John just said, but now we are the children of God. We're a child of God the very moment you pray to receive Christ as Savior. And as you and I mature in the Lord, we're going to be more and more like Him on a daily basis. We want the Father to see that. We want each other to see that. We are His children. Now, let's go back to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And let's look at verse 13. Now, verse 13 reads this way. Who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Now, I want to give you the word order of the original language because it changes the whole thing. If you read this as it is in the Greek, this is what you would read. Who, not out of blood, not out of the will of the flesh, not out of the will of man. You read it in the original, all the emphasis is on the individual. And the word not is before each phrase, so it's emphasizing it's not of blood. It's not of the will of the flesh. It's not of the will of man. It just wipes that out. It's a very strong phrase. And then the next phrase is, but out of God were born. The verb is at the end of the sentence, and it puts all the emphasis on being born of God. And the word born there means begotten or fathered by God. Have you and I ever thought that you were fathered by God, spiritually speaking? That God fathered each of His children spiritually through His Son and by His Spirit? And then we look at this, born of God and being being children of God. The name child or children means to be a descendant of God. You know, you see on TV these advertisements about ancestry, and everybody wants to find. I don't really want to find mine. What I know is enough. So I'm perfectly happy. But you and I, in Christ, are a descendant of the living God, spiritually speaking. Whoa, think about that, my dear brothers and sisters. And you and I have the authority to say so. And the authority is given to us by God. So when we hold that bread and that blood, that juice, that cup, and what we think about who we are in Christ, because God loved us so much, He sent His Son into the world to die for our sins and to be raised from the dead, not only freeing us from the bondage of sin and death and forgiving us of all of our sins and iniquities, but in addition to that, we have become His descendants. And we have the authority from Him alone to back it up. We follow the true and living God. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. We look at this passage to see our daily living. Our daily living. Bright and early tomorrow morning when we all rise and our feet hit the floor, what are you seeing? The doxology? I had this fellow in seminary. I think he was a single guy. He said every morning when his feet hits the floor and he jumped, I sing praises to God. I thought, boy, if I was your roommate, I'd shoot you. I don't want to hear that. I got to wake up first. But on a daily basis, Galatians 2:20. Look at this. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Every day God gives to you and me to live, we should live it with that scripture passage in mind. You've given me life. You've given me another day. It's not me living. It's Jesus living in and through me by his Spirit. Remember out of 2 Timothy, may I be a vessel fit for the Master's use. Powerful. When we remember the Lord in this sacrament today, these are more truths to meditate on. A descendant of God, being born of God, and having the authority to back it up from God. Brothers and sisters, meditate on this as we pray now in preparing our hearts for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Elders, will you come and prepare to serve? Shall we pray? Father in heaven, thank you for these truths that you've given us today about the Lord Jesus Christ and who we are in Christ. As we come to the table, may we be spiritually refreshed and renewed, remembering that we are indeed your children, and we have the right to be your children through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Well, as Richard has just